I invite you to turn with us together this morning in the word of the Lord to the prophecy of Isaiah. We're going to read together chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50, reading from verse number 1. The prophecy of Isaiah chapter 50, reading from the first verse. Isaiah 50, verse number 1. Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities have ye sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother carried away. Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke I dry up the sea, I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh because there is no water, and dieth for thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning, he wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they shall all wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord? That obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. We know the Lord will bless this public reading of his own precious and infallible word for his own name's sake. Now we're turning together to Isaiah chapter 50. And I want to leave with you the text that is found in verse 10. Isaiah chapter 50. And it's the 10th verse. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the Lord and stay upon his God. Let's ask God for help. Pray that the Lord's Spirit will come and bring us to the feet of the Master. We might hear his voice and that the Lord will be glorified. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we still our hearts in thy presence. Be still and know that I am God. Father, take thy word, write it upon every heart. Shut us in with thyself, Lord. Let us hear thy voice. Give help, Lord, in this meeting. I confess, O God, my weakness. I confess mine inability. I confess, O God, that I need Thee, spirit, soul, and body. I cast myself, O God, at Thy feet. I pray for the anointing of God the Holy Ghost. Let my name perish and be forgotten, but glorify, exalt the name of Thy Son. Bless and revive Thy people, and shut us in with Thyself, we ask, humbly in the Savior's name, and with a single eye to Thy glory. Amen. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant, and yet walketh in darkness, and hath no light? Beloved, I want to speak today upon a very solemn and yet a very simple subject. And yet it is a subject that I believe there are many of God's people at this moment in time will not be able to identify with what I am saying. Not because what I am saying is particularly deep or beyond our minds to comprehend what is being said, but I want to speak about something that is very experimental in the lives of God's people, especially those that want to go through with God, those who want to experience God's blessing and God's power. Because generally speaking, the child of God that is at ease in Zion, who has reached that place of lukewarmness and complacency, will not really understand today what I am saying because they have not experienced it. But if you love Jesus Christ today, if you've been born again of God's Spirit, if your life this morning is on God's altar, if you have not experienced what we're going to consider this morning, if the Lord tarries, ultimately you will experience the truth of Isaiah chapter 50 and verse number 10. Because this morning I just want to speak upon the subject, walking in darkness. Walking in darkness. And I'm not speaking about the darkness of sin. I'm not speaking of the darkness of backsliding. I'm not speaking about the darkness of rebellion, the darkness of unbelief, or the darkness of carnality. But I'm speaking about the darkness of Christian experience. And that in a sense sounds like a paradox, because we know that the Bible says in 1 John 1 verse 7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. But there are times in the lives of the most devout, sincere, and sanctified children of God, whenever they go through periods of darkness. And this darkness that we're speaking about this morning is a darkness that is very difficult to categorize or to explain. And it is something you will not be able to understand until you yourself go through a period of darkness. And I want to speak today for the encouragement of every believer here this morning who maybe has gone through the valley of darkness, maybe is going through at this present moment of time a period of darkness, or maybe in the days that lie ahead will go through a period of darkness. Who is among you that feareth the Lord and yet walketh in darkness and hath no light? Walking in darkness. Some very, very simple things that I want just to leave with you from this verse of Scripture. First of all, I want to say something about the character that the text is speaking to you. The individual that is addressed in the text, the person that God is speaking to through this verse of Scripture, is found in the opening words of verse number 10. Who is among you? So it's saying that this is not something that every Christian, every child of God will experience, but there are select believers amongst the evangelical establishment that will experience the reality of this verse. Who is among you? Perhaps just the ones or twos, and maybe, just maybe, this sermon, this message this morning that the Lord has burdened upon my heart is maybe just for one person in this meeting this morning. Maybe you're visiting God's house. You don't usually come to this church. But yet among this assembly of people today, there is one here that will be able to identify with what I'm saying. Who is among you? Now it tells us that the person that the Lord is speaking to is the person that fears the Lord and obeys the voice of His servant. So it's speaking to those that are righteous. It's speaking to those that know the Lord. It is speaking to those that fear God, that honor God, that reverence God, that seek to glorify God. It is speaking to those believers that are walking not afar off, not in bypath meadows, but this verse of Scripture is speaking to people that fear the Lord and obey the voice of God's servant. So it's speaking to people who are walking in the center of God's will for their lives. Who is among you that feareth the Lord? Now the Bible exhorts us, indeed the Bible commands us, to fear the Lord. Many, many times in Scripture we are called to fear the God of heaven. Indeed the Bible reminds us several times in the book of Proverbs that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And without the fear of God, there's no wisdom. I've got a little theory about this. And sometimes we talk about society in the 21st century as being a society that's void of common sense. You agree with me? People do the stupidest things. People say the stupidest things. People behave in the most foolish of ways. And it seems that while people are educated, we're living in a society, as we would say in Northern Ireland, of educated idiots. And my belief is that we are living in such a society because the fear of God has gone. The fear of God has left society, and the only result can be that on the backdrop of that, the wisdom that man can experience under the fear of God has gone as well. The Bible tells us in the book of Psalm 89, verse 7, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence of all that are about Him. So whenever we talk about the fear of God, we're not talking as God's people of cowering and fear under the hand of God, because perfect love casteth out fear, and if we're saved, we're loved with a perfect love. But we're speaking about reverence for God. We're speaking about honoring God. We're speaking about living in a manner that glorifies God, knowing that someday we will give an account for the lives that we have lived on the face of God's earth. And if we truly know who God is, as He's revealed in Scripture, we will fear Him. The reason why there's no reverence for God in the land and in the church and in Christian homes is because we have lost sight of the God with whom we have to do. A God who is infinitely, eternally, and unchangeably wise, just, holy, good, and true. A God of infinite perfection. A God who is eternal. A God who works according to the counsel of His own will. A God that brings to pass whatsoever comes to pass. A God who is sovereign. A God who is providential. And this verse is addressed to those people that fear such a God, that fear the God of the Bible. Not only that fear God, but also that honor God. Who is among you that feareth the Lord? And I'm sure there are many people this morning in this service that fear God. And I'm not stupid enough to ignore the fact that there are many people that in a sense do fear God, but do not fulfill the second part of this first opening clause, that obeyeth the voice of his servant. You see, there are many people on the periphery of Christianity that fear God, that believe in God, that believe the gospel, but they do not obey the voice of God's servant. Now, whenever this verse is talking about the voice of God's servant, it's not essentially talking about a preacher, an evangelist, a Bible teacher, a Kirk session, or a group of deacons, but it is speaking about God's perfect servant, the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 2, verse 7 tells us that he took upon himself the form of a servant. He became the perfect servant of Jehovah. Who is among you that feareth the Lord? That is Jehovah, in the Hebrew language, that obeyeth the voice of his servant. So it's speaking about the perfect servant of Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ. As we're told over there, a few pages back, Isaiah chapter 42, and verse number 1, God says, behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. And this is, of course, speaking of the coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, God's servant. And so the people that are being addressed in Isaiah chapter 50, verse 10, are those that not only fear the name of the Lord, fear the God of heaven, the creator of all things, but are walking in habitual obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that narrows it down quite considerably, I think you will agree. Because maybe today you're professing to be saved, but you're not walking in consistent and continual obedience. If that's you, this verse doesn't apply to you. This verse is speaking to God-fearing, God-honoring people who walk in the light of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And yet it tells us that such people can walk in darkness. This really flies in the face of the idea that is propagated from many pulpits, just come to Jesus and be happy. Now I know that the Lord gives a peace and a joy and a contentment that the world can never give. But you know, and I know, and God knows, that sometimes things happen in the Christian life that render it very difficult for us to have a smile upon our faces. We were singing earlier, when darkness veils his lovely face, all I can do is rest on his unchanging grace. You see, friends, what this text is saying is that the fear of the Lord and obedience to the Lord can bring us into a place of darkness. And I would suggest to you this morning that this is something that evangelicals would scarcely admit. Just to try and bolster the numbers to get people in, we say, come to Jesus and be happy. All your problems will go away. You'll never be sad, you'll never be downcast, but we know that that is not the experience continually of every child of God, because there are times of darkness. The most holy men in Scripture and the most holy woman in the Word of God and in church history were men and women that at times walked in darkness. You think of God's servant Jacob. Do you remember how this young man left home and he kissed his father and mother goodbye and their hearts were broken as their son left home to go into a far off country to seek to himself a wife and employment and to set up home? And they thought they'd lost all influence on their son. But the very night that Jacob left home was the night that God spoke to him, and he saw a vision, a ladder stretched up into heaven. He awoke from his sleep, and he was powerfully, suddenly, and supernaturally converted. And he began to obey the Lord. And he began to fear the Lord, and he began to walk with the Lord. And yet many years later, in Genesis chapter 21, that same Jacob was left alone in the darkness of the night. And the Bible says there that there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And that man was a Christophany, a theophany, the Lord Jesus Christ in a pre-incarnate state, touched Jacob, touched the hollow of his thigh, and touched him in his strong point and broke him. And that happened in darkness. And that happened that that man might stop trusting in himself and in his ability, and that he might be brought into Canaan's land, the land of blessing. And God brought Jacob, or Israel, into Canaan as a cripple. And he was a man that feared God and obeyed the voice of God's servant. Yet he experienced what it was to walk as a cripple out of the darkness. Joseph was something similar. Perfect type of the Lord Jesus Christ. A father's beloved son who went after the lost children of Israel. And you'll remember, as soon as he found his brethren feeding their flocks in a place called Dothan, that they took Joseph and they cast him into a pit, into a place of darkness. And after Joseph was brought out of the pit, he was brought into a place of slavery. And then in the place of slavery, he was exalted for a season, and then he was thrown into a prison cell, again, a place of darkness. Do you remember God's servant David, the man after God's own heart? The sweet psalmist of Israel that penned the words, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters." But albeit being led beside still waters and through green pastures, David, as a child of God, as a man after God's own heart, was led through places of darkness. David had to hide in caves because his life was under threat, because he honored the name of his God. David went to his safe haven at a later on time in 1 Samuel 30, that little town of Ziklag, a place where David could repose, a place where David could rest, a place where David could relax, a place where his family were, his wives were, his children were, a safe haven from Saul and from the Philistines. And he came back on an occasion and found that Ziklag was burned with fire and his wives and his children had been carried away. Do you not think that that was a time of darkness in the life of David? Do you remember the life of God's servant Elijah? This great prophet of God, never been to Bible college, never been heard of before, and suddenly, providentially, he's found in the palace of King Ahab. And he says, "As the Lord God of heaven liveth, there shall be no dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." And then he goes to the brook Cherith. And then he goes to a widow's house at Zarephath. Then he finds himself on the mountaintop of Carmel, calling down fire from heaven. And yet within a few short hours after that, where is Elijah? He's sitting in a cave in a place called Horeb, asking God to put an end to his life. He was found in a place of darkness, feeling suicidal. And aren't we reminded in James 5:17, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. Child of God, have you ever been there? Have you ever been in that place of darkness? That place of hopelessness? That place where you think your service for God is over? That place where you think there's no point going on any longer? And you say, "How can this be? I love God. I've been born again. I fear God. I sought to obey the voice of God's servant, and here I am. And all around me there's nothing but darkness." Maybe you're like Job. Do you remember God's servant Job, the man that had an unblemished testimony, perfect in his generations, a man that feared God and eschewed evil? And yet in a moment of time, Job virtually lost everything. He lost his family, he lost his business, he lost his friends, he lost his wealth, he lost his marriage, he lost everything. And Job was able to say that the Lord has encompassed my path with darkness. And he found himself in a place of darkness, a man that feared the Lord and obeyed the voice of God's servant. What about Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, sanctified from his mother's womb, filled with the Holy Ghost, called to be a prophet, preached the Lord's message, and God said to him, "For 40 years you're going to preach and nobody's going to listen." No wonder he was called the weeping prophet. Found himself in an old dungeon, up to his knees in the mire. And Jeremiah was able to say in the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 6, about his experience was surrounded by darkness. You think about Daniel as well. Daniel was a man of prayer. Daily he prayed 3 times. Where did his prayer life lead him? Into the den of lions. Into darkness. We could go on. We could talk about some modern saints. David Brainerd. Man sold out to God. A man that left everything to reach the North American Indians. And yet was dogged for the best part of his life with depression, with ill health. So much so that the Lord took him at the age of 30. God moves, you see, friends, in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea. He rides upon the storm. You know who wrote that hymn? William Cowper. A man who even throughout the course of his Christian life was dogged with thoughts of suicide and despair. Sometimes would sit in his study looking out the window and wouldn't rise from his seat literally for days on end. Think of John Bunyan. Man consigned to a prison house in Bedford, England. All because he wanted to preach the gospel. And was a prisoner through his own conscience. Separated from his wife, from his family, from his children. A man that feared the Lord. A man that obeyed the voice of his servant. And yet a man who was acquainted with darkness. We could go on and on and on and on. And yet don't we so often and so flippantly say, Lord, will you make me more like Jesus Christ? And I wonder, does the Lord look down from heaven and does he say, are you willing to drink the cup that I drank of? Are you willing to be baptized with the baptism that I was baptized with? Are you willing to go through and identify with the cross, with Gethsemane, with surrender, with consecration, and say, Father, if thou be willing, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. The character that the text speaks to, the circumstances that the text speaks of, walking in darkness. Now, this is not the darkness of sin. It's not the darkness of rebellion. It's not the darkness of unbelief or backsliding. It could be a darkness that manifests itself in any one of several different ways. It may for you be a darkness mentally, a night of confusion. You see, the Bible, friends, it makes it abundantly clear that the human mind is a battlefield. That's why Peter says, gird up the loins of your mind. Let not your mind be slack. Because you can face darkness mentally. And I believe that in the last days there will be many that will face this kind of darkness that the Bible speaks of. A kind of thick mental darkness. You see, it tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, speaking of the Lord's return in glory, that ye be not so soon shaken in your mind, or troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Maybe there's one here today and you're facing darkness mentally. Your mind has been shaken. Your mind has been troubled. You're facing an hour of confusion. Maybe for somebody today you're facing a darkness emotionally. And you love the Lord, you fear the Lord, you obey the voice of God's servant. But emotionally you're facing a period of darkness. C.H. Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers, from experience said this. He said, there are dungeons beneath the castles of despair. There are dungeons beneath the castles of despair. It is said that Spurgeon, so often living in perpetual revival, would have gone to his home, his manse in London, and would have lay on his couch and wept. And whenever people came to visit him and to speak to him and ask him what was wrong, all he could say was, I don't know. Darkness. Emotionally, maybe I'm speaking to one who is going through a period of darkness. Let me remind you of Psalm 30, verse number 6. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And isn't nighttime a dark season? Maybe you're saying to yourself today, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. And you're beating yourself up. And you're saying, I'm cast down. I'm walking in darkness. Why do you feel like this? Why do I feel like this? Why don't I trust more in God? Why, if I was really hoping in God, surely I wouldn't feel like this. Maybe you're going through a darkness physically. Maybe your body is wrecked with pain. Maybe your life is broken at this present moment in time. And you listen, don't we, so often to the prosperity preachers. If you're walking with the Lord, if you fear the Lord, if you love the Lord, if you're a true child of God, you'll never have any trouble like this. You'll never be broken mentally. You'll never be troubled emotionally. Your health will never break down because sure the Lord took all our diseases and his blood can cleanse us from all of our sicknesses, and you should never really, really feel like this. And I have asked these men, what about Job? Oh, sure, he was different. What about Paul? He was different too. What about Jeremiah? Oh, he was different as well. What about Elijah? Oh, he was different too. What about Timothy? Oh, he was different as well. What about Hezekiah? He was sick. I guess he was different. Isn't it amazing that all these people in Scripture are different because they suffered? And they're the exceptions to the rule, friends. You can be facing darkness physically. You can be facing perhaps darkness spiritually. And God's hand from your life seems to be withdrawn. And it's as if God has removed the light of his countenance from you. And whenever you pray, the heavens are as brass. And whenever you read your Bible, it's just like a book. It's truth and it's true and you know it to be true, but it doesn't seem to bear witness the way it once did. And you're facing darkness spiritually. And you don't know what direction you're going. And you don't know where God is in your circumstances. And you fear the Lord and you've obeyed the voice of his servant. And you feel that you'll never be blessed again. You feel that you'll never experience God again. You feel that you'll never see answers to prayer again. You feel that you'll never see God move again. And you feel hopeless and you feel downcast and you're walking in darkness. What about darkness ecclesiastically? Darkness in our land. Darkness in the church. Ichabod written over the door, and you can look back to times of blessing, to times of revival, to times of awakening. And friends, let's be honest, those blessings have gone. This is right reality. God is not moving in the way that he once did in our nation. God is not moving and blessing in the way that he once did in our church. There is darkness in our land ecclesiastically. And very often it's those that honor the Lord and fear the Lord and obey the voice of his servants. Those are the ones that notice it. The ones that are sleeping, they don't seem to see it. But the ones that love the Lord do. Darkness nationally. Do you remember whenever there was the plagues in Egypt? And one of those plagues was a plague of darkness. And Moses went to Pharaoh and warned him and talked about this darkness that was going to come upon the nation. And he says it will be a darkness that can be felt. A thick darkness. Not just that the sun goes down and it's like a twilight, but he says the land literally will be black. It'll be a thick darkness, a blanket of darkness, a supernatural darkness, a darkness that God has sent as judgment, and it will be like you can literally reach out and touch the blackness. Do you ever feel the darkness in our nation? Do you ever open your newspaper, turn on the radio, watch the television? Do you ever see what's going on in our land and going on in our homes? And friends, can we feel the darkness today? What's going on even amongst professing Christians? Maybe for you it's a darkness privately. None of the above. Maybe you look at your children and you're saying, preacher, I've been praying for my family for years and God has not saved them. And I honor the Lord and I fear the Lord and I know that there's a day of judgment coming and I've committed my family unto the Lord and God has not saved them. And preacher, there's darkness in my home. And my children are coming home from school and university and the workplace and they're bringing the darkness into the house. And preacher, I can't stand it. And there's darkness in my marriage. There's darkness amongst the family. There's darkness in the workplace. There's darkness around the table. There's no light in my home, preacher. I fear the Lord and I obey the voice of a servant. But preacher, let me tell you, if you only knew I am walking in darkness and there's no light whatsoever. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. God has removed the light of His countenance from my home, from my life, from my family. You say, some of you Christians, you know, I can't understand how this could happen. Sure, the Bible says God will never leave us nor forsake us. That is exactly right. That is true. But there are times whenever God removes the consciousness of His presence from our lives. It's like those times whenever we know that the hand of God is upon us as an earthen vessel. But the Lord just lifts the hands off. We're still underneath and round about are the everlasting arms and we can never be lost. But it's just like what it says in Isaiah chapter 54, verse number 7. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Isaiah 54. For a small moment have I forsaken thee. But with great mercies I will gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment. But with everlasting kindness will I have mercy upon thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. The redeemed of the Lord. And yet the Lord says, for a small moment, I have removed the light of my countenance from thee. But with great mercies will I gather thee. Do you know what that's like, Christian? Can't trace the hand of God. Can't see the face of God. Can't trace the providence of God, and it's darkness, and you're like Job, and you're saying, oh, that I knew where I might find Him. Oh, that I were as I was in months past. Where's the Lord? Seems that the light of His countenance is gone, and there's no light from God's Word, as we say it, just sometimes like a closed book. Have your quiet time. Have your prayer time. Come to God's house. Come to the prayer meeting. You're doing all those things in obedience to the Lord, but there's no light. What's the counsel? What are we to do? Is there any hope? Is there light at the end of the tunnel? Well, look at our text of Scripture again. Who is among you that feareth the Lord and obeyeth the voice of His servant? Walketh in darkness and hath no light. What does God say? Let him trust in the name of the Lord. And let him stay upon his God. You say, is that it? I'm going through this darkness. And all you say is just trust the Lord. Just stay upon the name of the Lord. Isn't it so easy whenever a Christian is going through a trial that we throw our arms around them and we say, brother, don't worry about it. Just keep on believing. Jesus is near. All things work together for good. This will come to an end. And we just sort of slap a verse of Scripture on it. And we leave that brother or sister in the darkness and we think, well, I don't know what they're so troubled about. God knows. And yet the same advice is given by God's Holy Spirit in this verse of Scripture. God says, trust and stay. He says, don't try and get out of this. Verse number 11, he says, behold, all ye that kindle a fire and compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire. You want to bring the hand of man into it? And you want to get yourself out? And you want some kind of strange fire just to give yourself a little bit of light? He says, you try it, but you'll get burned. Just you keep obeying the Lord. Keep fearing the Lord. Trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon His God. You see, this word trust, it literally means have faith in. And faith is never a leap in the dark. Hebrews 11, faith's great hall of fame, the first verse, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You see, faith is based on evidence, and faith has good substance. Faith is just believing what God says He will do. Trust in the name of the Lord. The Lord there is the word Jehovah, which signifies the covenant-keeping God. Believer, today you're born again. And in Christ you are in covenant union with a God who cannot lie. And for God to break His covenant promises with His people, God's integrity is broken. God's honor is defiled. We have a God that keeps covenant and mercy for every single sinner that He's taken responsibility for. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the name of the Lord. Now, whenever the Bible talks about the name of the Lord, it's really speaking of God's revealed character. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest. Jesus loves me. Loved with an everlasting love. Loved freely. Loved unchangeably. Loved eternally. By a covenant-keeping God who will not lie. By a God who is omnipotent, all-powerful. By a God who is omniscient, knows all things, knows about my darkness. By a God that is omnipresent, a God that is everywhere. Even if I cannot trace the hand of God, I can trust the promises of God. Jesus Christ, God's servant, 2,000 years ago outside of Jerusalem, hung upon a cross. And from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, for 3 hours, the Bible says that the earth was shrouded in darkness. God's elect servant feared the God, feared His Father, obeyed His Father's voice, fulfilled His Father's will, yet on the cross, in darkness. What did He do? Trusted the name of the Lord, stayed upon His God. You see, all that the Son of God had as He hung upon that cross, forsaken by the Father, being made a sin offering, was the promise that His Heavenly Father would not leave His soul in hell, neither suffer His Holy One to see corruption. A covenant of redemption. And being the Son of God and the Son of Man, He's touched at the feeling of our infirmities. So I have good confidence that whenever I come to the throne of grace with boldness, I am coming to a great high priest, and through a great high priest who is touched with the feelings of my infirmities, who was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And I know that He knows all about my circumstances. And I know that He is touched by that. And I know that He is concerned about that. And because of who He is, I can trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon my God. The word stay there, it literally means to lean on, to rest on, to rely on. The same word is found in 2 Samuel 1 verse 6, where it says, Saul leaned upon his spear. Some people say to me, well, you know, faith in God, Christianity, religion, this born again stuff, the Bible, sure, it's just a crutch. Well, it's much more than a crutch, friend. I use a crutch to help me. But I cast myself fully upon the rock of ages, God's own dear Son. Because I have learned from experience, from the Word of God, the truth of hymn number 361 in our hymn book. That every joy or trial falleth from above, traced upon my dial by the Son of Love. We may trust Him fully. All for us to do, they who trust Him wholly, find Him wholly true, because stayed upon Jehovah. Hearts are fully blessed, finding, as He promised, perfect peace and rest. You see your darkness today, Christian? God has a purpose in the darkness. God has a plan for you in that darkness. You might not be able to see the light at the end of the tunnel, but ultimately the light is there just because it's withholden from our eyes. You see, it tells us in Isaiah 45:3, I will give to you the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places. Because there are things that we can only learn about our walk with God in the darkness. God spoke to Moses in Exodus 20, verse 21, indicating that he was the God that dwelt in the thick darkness. And Moses alone entered into that darkness. And whenever Moses came out of that cloud of darkness, his face did shine as the sun. Maybe today you're in the darkness and you're going to come out of it. Someday, somehow, some way, and your face will reflect the countenance of the glory of the Son of God. You see, folks, any Christian can be spiritual in times of revival and times of blessing. It's easy to be a bandwagon Christian. Jump on the bandwagon whenever everything is going well, but whenever there's darkness, to continue to trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon His God. Only the grace of God can keep a person there. And you never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar you lay. For the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are for those who will trust and obey. Better a season of darkness this side of the judgment seat of Christ than the blackness of hell forever. Who is among you that feareth the Lord? Obeyeth the voice of a servant, walketh in darkness with no light. Who is it here today? Say, preacher, it's me. Trust in the name of the Lord. Stay upon your God, and the Lord will bring you through. God bless you. We're going to sing number 361.